Getting to my message today, I believe God has put me on an assignment today. I like that word, assignment. I feel like the assignment is to tell you that God wants to be your everything this morning. He wants to be everything to you. And he wants to remind us today that your current reality doesn't dictate your future. Okay, and so I want to share with you some thoughts that I have, but first, we'll have a little story time. Nothing big, but just a little story time. So a couple weeks ago, I had this dream. It felt very realistic. I get these dreams that are just sometimes too realistic, and it's not usually a good thing because it's like a work environment, and it's like, come on, man, I got to do this enough, you know, and now I got to be here in the dreams too. So I want to be on vacation or something. But I was back at an old job that I had. I won't say which, but I've only held one office position. So those who know, that's the job. And I was at this office position, and it was like Christmas time. And it was really nice here in Florida. If you know anything about me, I like cooler weather. I don't know why God still has us here in Central Florida, but I really like the cooler weather. But I'm just kidding. I know why God has us here. Calm down. but I really liked the cooler weather, and it was nice and chilly outside, and I was at this, it was like an office party or, I don't know, something going on, and everyone was happy and joyful, and I was having a good day at work, and I rarely had a good day at that work, but at the end of it, we were given these bonus checks. If I've received a bonus check, I can't remember in my life, and we received a bonus check of $12,000, and I was like, hey, that was a really specific amount. And I was really excited about that. And in my dream, man, I just remember right after work, we were going and had a family gathering. It was just this feeling of joy, and I felt so happy. And then I woke up. and it was August. And it's like 100 degrees at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I didn't have $12,000 extra in my account. And I started to feel a little bit bitter. I did. I was like, come on. You know, that felt good. And I held on to that for a little while. And it was really weird. Like, why am I holding on to this anger? Because this is something I dreamt about. And it felt so real to me that I just held on to the anger. And alas, the $12,000 is gone. And it's August. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I hate August. August is absolutely my least favorite month of the year. There's really no good sports. It's coming, but there's no good sports. It's really hot. School just started and things are crazy. It's just not a good month. It's not. Anyways. So I felt rich. I felt so blessed in that dream. And then, like I said, I woke up and I was mad. And so the question I have for you today is, you know, really, how many of you have woken up in that way? You don't have to raise your hand. Whether it was from something good, you're like, hey, this is great in the dream, and you wake up and it's not real. And then you're like, now I'm mad. Or something bad happened in the dream, and you held on to that through your day, a little bit of your day, and you were still mad. Think about, I'm talking to spouses right now. I can bet you some of you are guilty about this. Something bad happened in your dream. Your spouse did something you didn't like in your dream. You held on to that throughout the day, and you're mad at them. And you don't even know why. I've done it. Come on, y'all are like all quiet, like this doesn't apply to you. Come on now, get real. You carry that anger for no reason, right? And so, then it dawned on me, how often do we get upset, frustrated in our spiritual walk when sometimes our thoughts, our own desires don't become reality in the timing and the format and the way that we want it to. That is the topic today is false expectation. We want something so badly that we get frustrated that God didn't provide it at the timing that we wanted and the place that we wanted, exactly how we thought it was all going to work out. And then we get exhausted waiting on God to move in our lives. We get tired, right? You feel almost spiritually exhausted, waiting for a miracle in your body, waiting for a touch in your finances, waiting for God to repair the brokenness in your family, waiting on God to bless me. That's, you know, there's a lot of that waiting, right? And so we're waiting on God to perform these things that fulfill our own fleshly desires, and we feel tired. And I've even felt that exhaustion in ministry, thinking of a way that things were going to move in a service, conceiving how this is all going to work out. God's going to move in this way, and oh, you know, all this is going to happen, revival's going to start, and it's going to be a full house and all these things, and it doesn't happen. And then I sit there frustrated and upset. I go back to this a lot to share with you. We were youth pastors for 3 years, and I could tell you that was a major struggle of mine. Coming here, especially towards the end, there was a lot of circumstances that happened in the end. And from a youth group of about 30, dwindled down to just a few. And if you ever want to talk about that, we could talk about that on another day. We're completely open with everything. And it was a struggle because I saw the way this thing was going to happen, and I had it all preconceived and planned out, and we had this good music, and we had all these things going on, and I still didn't see God move in the youth group. And I saw him move at times when I wasn't expecting it. And so the point is, sometimes when God is moving, it doesn't always feel like it. And so I was feeling confused and upset and tired, not seeing the results at that time. And so today, what we're going to study to start off, and I apologize if I'm a little long-winded today. I do have a lot to say. But it's in 2 Kings chapter 5. We find this story of Naaman. And it's a story of a miracle that was almost aborted because of false expectation. Naaman was a leper. He was a successful and accomplished military leader in Aram. And so you can see in here, there's themes of this false expectation, of obedience, and also there's themes of greed if you read towards the end of the chapter. So do that on your own. But Naaman's wife had a Hebrew servant, and she was a Jewish servant, and she knew the Lord, and she stepped out in faith when seeing this issue of leprosy and said, you need to see the prophet in Israel. And so he goes, and the king of Israel knows he can do nothing and for him, and he's suspicious even of why this enemy is asking for help for their commander, and it's almost a pretext for a new invasion. And what we're going to start at is verse 7. It says, and it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive? That this man sends a man to me to heal him of leprosy. Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. So he's already fearing. Moving along to verse 8. So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. When Naaman went with his horses and his chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house, and Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. So, recapping here, Naaman was frustrated with what he was being told to do to receive this healing. He was thinking, well, if I just needed to wash in a river, why don't I just stay home in the rivers that are much better and just wash in them? If that's all I needed to do, then why did I have to bring my entourage or whatever, you know, chariots and all these guys with me to seek this prophet if it's just requirement of getting in some water? Oftentimes we ourselves imagine the way God is going to perform something in our lives, and then we get frustrated when an infinite God doesn't cater to finite beings. And sometimes it's really frustrating because we think we know it all. Especially in the way when he doesn't move in the exact timing and the way we want. And I believe in the power of prayer and a miracle working God. However, I also recognize that our minds get in the way. Our own selfish desires can sometimes get in the way. Going back to verse 11, just to recap, but Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me." He was frustrated. Elisha didn't just hand him this. He didn't just say, "You're good. Go on." Have you ever felt that frustration? You don't have to raise your hand, but think about it just for a moment. Have you ever felt that frustration where you were expecting something and you thought maybe it was of God or something going on in your family and you didn't see God move in that time? He tells us to go here when sometimes we'd rather just go there where it's safe and comfortable and easy. Hope deferred has made our hearts sick. And some of us are sick today because of false expectation. Feel weary because of it. Our expectations are not always correct because of the flaws in our thinking and the bias and the way our self gets involved. So I want to turn to James chapter 4, if you'd turn with me. Also be on the screen. Starting at verse 1, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." Sometimes we get our hopes up and we create this vision for selfish desire. When our hearts are lined up with the word of God and our lives are sold out to him, our hearts are trees of life, no longer brokenhearted because of this deferred hope. The scripture says hope deferred, right? And you become trees of life. Because when our hearts are lined up with him, he lines up the desires of your heart. Does that make sense? When your heart is lined up with him, he lines things up for you. He lines up your vision and your desires. And so there's no longer self getting in the way, but it's what God wills. I believe God wants to save the lost and the sick. He wants his church to be a church of spiritual gifts, prophetic, and he wants to bring revival. But let me tell you something and remind us something. We don't dictate how God works, okay? And so sometimes we come up with this idea, and we need to look back at the foundation of that desire. Is that desire to glorify him? Is that desire for something that glorifies the kingdom and lifts up the kingdom? Or is it somehow going back to a few weeks ago talking about pride? Is that somehow glorifying self? Instead of trusting God to move in his order and his time and timing. So going back to the story of Naaman, he groaned and he fought for a little while, but eventually he gave in. And he trusted in the path that God was leading him to. God required a small thing, a really small thing. Go in that river, dip 7 times. That's not very complicated, but he still fought with it because he wanted it right there. He came expecting the way it was going to happen, and it wasn't exactly how it happened. But he wore down, and he had his miracle. Had he not overcome that false expectation, he would have missed it. And so oftentimes we create this mental picture. Naaman had created an image of how God would heal him. So right now I challenge you to think about the mental pictures you've created in your life, whether you've been involved with ministry, whether it's been in your family, in your finances. What is the mental picture that we've created, the way God was going to move in our life? And then how do we take that, you know, when it doesn't come our way? Not just in finances, but every area, really, guys. So I believe God really wants to bless those who love him, who trust him, who bless him, not just in money, but in their actions. And I can tell you right now, I'm not a prosperity guy. I love people, and I trust people's hearts. But I'm concerned with the prosperity gospel, because there's a lot of distortions of truth behind that. We don't need to get into that too much. But I believe in blessing, not only in just finances, because I believe God can bless your finances. I've seen it. But he can also bless you in so many ways that we don't recognize. And it comes in so many different forms. But I'm seeing this problem still, and it was really a problem 90s, early 2000s, with the prosperity theology. And I've seen a lot of churches base their entire theology on this. And so I'm challenging that today as well. I'm challenging the thought that the only way we see the blessing of God is through our finances, because that is not the truth. I believe God blesses us in so many different ways. It is a blessing just to be breathing today. It is a blessing to be able to worship in a house of freedom. It is a blessing to have financial provision, or it is a blessing to have that contentment in our hearts. But I believe the blessing is in the joy and the Holy Spirit abounding in our lives. So before we go on groaning about the things that we are without, having false expectation of what living in Christ is, look to him with eyes of blessing. He has blessed you. He has blessed you with the redemption. We were looking at death 2,000 years ago. I mean, forever death. Right now we have eternal life because we are blessed. So I want to challenge that mentality and that mindset. And I believe if we align ourselves with the will of God, we will experience the greater things of God. Proverbs 3 is very well known. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. What does that say? In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your paths. In all of your ways, not just some of your ways, not just half dedicated to him, in all of your ways, and then he will direct your paths. Doesn't mean the path is easy. Scripture speaks very clearly of the narrow path. It's very difficult to follow, but he will lead you if you acknowledge him in all of your ways and not lean on your own expectation and your own understanding. God wants all of us today. So take your eyes off the way you thought things should happen and just thank God that he is seeing you through it still. We may not understand why he lines up the things the way he does, but he is an infinite God who knows a little bit more than we do. And he directs our paths. Scripture says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. He lines up expectation with his promises. When God is at the root of our lives, then faith springs forth. And so I believe when our hearts are sold out to him, he lines up your dreams and your visions. I want to see the visions that God has planted in my life and not the image and the false expectation that I created. Turn with me to Psalm 62, verse 5. It says, "My soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people, and pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for you." Very clear. Pour out your heart. Pour out your expectation before him and see how he lines up your path. See how he lines up your expectation. And see how he lines up your vision and your dreams. Acts 2, "It shall come in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." He is giving us dreams and vision that are aligned with his promises and his will. And so, and I believe that when God is all our sufficiency, I believe the signs and the wonders, they follow. You might get a seat. You might want a seat. I don't mind. I would love if you guys played, but I just got a little bit more to talk about. Sorry. When he's all our efficiency, we are lined up with him and his promises. A few months ago, this is one of the first things I spoke about since trying to preach again, which I hadn't done in 6 years up until this point. Thank God that he's leading me and he's putting me back together. But a few months ago, we talked about the loaves and fishes. We know that story. But towards the end of the chapter, the people sought after Jesus and his disciples, crossed the water, only to ask for more stuff, more bread, more things. And Jesus told him, he said, "You don't get it. I am the bread of life. I provide all things to you. I am your provision. You're coming to me looking for some scraps. I have so much more for you because I am your provision." He told him, "I'm the bread of life." So instead of spending our time devoted to God, asking to fulfill our own desires, instead of getting all worked up when things don't go our way, we should be resting in our provision, resting in our promises. Turn with me if you would. This is one of our last passages. Mark chapter 4. Almost there. Verse 35. If you're there, say amen. All right, we're there. I didn't listen to everyone. I hope I got the majority of the vote here. "On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.' And when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. but he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the seas obey him?" If the wind and the seas obey him, why do we get all worked up when things around us aren't going the way we thought it should? That boat was filling up with water. How many of you felt like even your spiritual boat or in your life that your boat is filling up and you feel like you're about to drown and you feel like you're going to capsize? Many of you probably know this about me, but at a very early age as a toddler, I drowned to the point I was lifeless. To the point where, at least what I'm told, no breath, eyes purple and flipped up. I was dead. I was dead. Water is, it can overwhelm. Sometimes it feels like we feel a little overwhelmed. The enemy at that time, I believe in my testimony, the enemy sought to kill me. Maybe the enemy has sought to capsize your boat today. But take some heart from this for a moment. If you felt that strife in your life, in your health, or in your finances, or in your family, where you ask God, "Do you even care? I'm perishing. The wind and the seas are in uproar around me, and I've got nowhere to go, and the stern is breaking and everything." I don't know anything about a boat. I'm not even going to try. Things are breaking. Faith doesn't just enable you to escape suffering. It enables you to persevere through suffering. When things are, when the waves and the winds are shaky, he gives you strength to persevere and to continue to press on. So Jesus awoke out of his slumber. He was relaxed. He was relaxed. And he awoke and he rebuked the storm and he said, "Peace, be still." Jesus wasn't disturbed because he was resting in God. He knew his purpose. He felt sure in his life. He knew he didn't have to worry. And so when things were getting messed up by some waves and wind, he slept. His eyes are always on the Father and living out his purpose in his life. And he didn't walk around with false expectation that anything would be handed to him. That it would be smooth sailing. See what I did there? Smooth sailing? No? Okay. That wasn't even intended. I promise you. It's just, I figured it was a funny pun. Now, Jesus knew that there was strife and there was persecution that was sought for his life. And that it wasn't going to be easy. But he rested in the Father anyway. Faith gives you power to persevere through your storm. Danger was all around him, yet he rested. Why? Because he knew the Father. And when you know the Father, you know his promises are sure. And his you trust his will for you. When God orders our steps, we don't have to figure it all out. Amen? Things don't go the way you hoped, trust in him anyways. Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. I want the Lord to direct my steps and not allow my selfish, finite, small thinking to get in the way of a much bigger, great God who created the heavens and the earth and all things that you see. I think he can do a little bit more than I can. Amen. Can we stand? Our minds can't even fathom the full capability of the God that we serve. That's why Scripture says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered the heart of man the things that which God has prepared for you. He prepares a way for those who love Him. God wants to be your everything today. When God is our everything, He makes a way when there seemed to be no way. When God is your everything, He takes your drought and He brings a harvest. When God is our everything, He brings joy when there was mourning. When God is our everything, He gives you a promise and a purpose, and He is a promise keeper. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For all the promises of God in Him are what? Yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us." Say it again. The promises are what?
Yes.
And in Him,
amen.
Feed your spirit and rest in the promises of God. Turn every thought captive and every care to Him and see what He does with it. Amen. If you are sick today because of hopes and dreams deferred, prayers unanswered, expectations not met, hold on to the God of hope. We serve a God who rebukes the storms and says, "Peace, be still." Make God your everything today and see how He lines up your thoughts and vision and your desires. When God is at the root, your faith will stir, your faith will spring forth. And there is no limit to this God, God of wonders. So don't give up now. Just rest. Get your pillow. Find somewhere to rest in the promises of God. So today, what I'm going to do is, I was a little shorter than I thought I was going to be, so that's good. That means you have more time to pray. Today, if you're struggling with disappointment for hope deferred, and at one time we imagine the way these things were going to align in our lives, we thought that we had a plan. I could tell you right now, if you would have asked me 6 months ago if I would be doing this, I would have definitely laughed at you. I had an idea of the way things were going to go in my life. And let me tell you what, I am a planner. Y'all have no idea how much I plan. We went on vacation years ago, overseas, and I had a spreadsheet by hour format. I'm not even kidding you. I can find it right now. Of hour format of what we were going to do, and I had to block out our free time. I'm a planner, so it goes very much against my mind and my own flesh to just wholly rely on God. But that is something that He's been dealing with me, and He's been breaking me apart and taking that and saying, "No, just trust in me. Just trust my word. Trust my promises. And I'll order your steps. I'll direct you." It's not going to be easy. I didn't promise that. I didn't promise that you were going to have $12,000 tomorrow in your account. Well, you know, just coming to you. But He promises blessing in so many other ways. When we get our minds off of the things that we want, just get our minds on the things that God wants, man, He brings joy in life. So today, if you're struggling with false expectation, desires not met, you're dealing with hurt in your life, some pain, if you're dealing with some confusion and even this thought of, "I'm praying for this. I haven't seen God move in it yet, and I'm still believing for you." I believe that we serve a God of miracles, a wonder-working power. And today, let's just rest in His promises. Not get all worked up of why things aren't working out. Not get all worked up of what we can do to make this thing happen. Let's let God make it happen today. So if you'd like prayer today, I'm going to ask the elders of the church to join me. If you'd like to pray from your seat, but we're going to sing, we're going to worship. And I just invite you at this time to seek the Lord. Say, Lord, I know I let my thoughts get in the way at times, but no more, because I want you to be my everything. And I'm going to rest in your promises because they are yes and amen.